We are back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. And I'm Brandon Peoples, talking with Alana Parker here from the Raleigh County Historical Museum. She is the curator of design. And we're going to be talking a little bit about costumes and such more here in this segment. We've been talking a little bit about that, but even the homemade costumes, those are some of the more fun ones.
Absolutely. You can really get creative and save a little money, too, and use things around the house to make your costume. Like I said, that was I'll never forget, my dad made a tin man costume with the funnel and anything. It was just things that he had kept over the years, and he was able to fabricate a tin man costume. So that was probably one of my favorites. So did you have a favorite growing up?
Yeah, well, not when I was growing up, but when I was in college, my wife and I were dating in college, and we actually would try to match and do some kind of theme. One year we went as ketchup and mustard.
Oh, nice.
She really likes ketchup. I really like mustard. And so that's how we dressed up that day, that year. We did Wayne's World 1 year.
Oh, perfect.
Because she's got blonde hair and my hair's a little darker. So I was Wayne. She was Garth. That was a lot of fun.
Perfect. See, and the couple ones are fun too. You can really do a lot with those. Very fun. Well, like I said, that's what with my friends in high school too, doing the Ninja Turtles. We had the four of us. And so you could complete the whole set there. And I actually think we recruited a friend to be Splinter, if you remember the rat.
So. Well, that's fun.
But yeah, some of those costumes, in thinking about Halloween costumes, one that comes to mind is that of Elvira, mm-hmm. Which she has been in the news quite a bit lately, just celebrated her 70th birthday. And we were talking about her. There's a food channel, a baking show where they do a Halloween competition, and you're just kind of scrolling through, and sure enough, there is Elvira in her full costume as one of the guest judges. But if anybody's not familiar with who Elvira is, that is the character that was portrayed by Cassandra Peterson. And Cassandra was born in Manhattan in 1949 to Mr. and Mrs. Dale Peterson. And the family lived on a farm near Randolph and then lived in Manhattan for a little while. And then when Cassandra was 7, she moved with her family to Colorado and then later began her career in Las Vegas in California when she was just a teenager. So Elvira is that character, the mistress of darkness. Once you see her, you won't forget her, that's for sure. We do have in the collection of the Raleigh County Historical Society and Museum one of the cutouts. It's an Elvira cutout, full size, and this was when she was kind of a spokesperson for Coors Beer. So she's got that with her. So we're going to have to get that out for Halloween, though, because you do see that a lot. Like I said, just in the last few weeks, I've noticed she's become a lot more prominent around Halloween and, of course, just celebrating her birthday.
Yeah, this is kind of her season, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
So in 1981, she created the character Elvira, as I mentioned, known as the Mistress of Darkness. The character appeared in two nationally syndicated television series, two feature films, and that was Elvira, Mistress of the Darkness, and Elvira's Haunted Hills. She had an IMAX movie, and then apparently two amusement park rides, too. And one thing that was really fun, I have a part of my extended family in White City, Kansas, and they have a little bar there, and we go into the bar, and they have a pinball machine, and on that pinball machine is Elvira there. It's an entirely Elvira-themed pinball machine, and my husband wasn't aware of who she was, and so now he's just obsessed because he thinks it's so cool that she's from the Manhattan area.
Yeah.
So, but kind of a fun story if we're talking about Halloween. Seems appropriate to mention Elvira and her history here with Manhattan.
If anybody has Elvira collectibles that they wanted to turn into the museum, can they do that?
Absolutely. We would very much appreciate that. And we are always interested in considering different donations. But yes, any collectibles. Yeah, that pinball machine. I was going to ask.
Wouldn't that be nice?
If they ever needed a home for it, we would take it at the museum. But so that's kind of a fun part tying into Halloween history is Elvira, the Mistress of Darkness.
All right. Yeah, the only reason I asked, I just went to the Oz Museum here in early October when they had the Oztoberfest going on. I'd never been through there before, and I saw all these different collectibles in the museum, and it's just so neat to see the stuff that would have been popular 40 years ago, 50 years ago, even longer than that. And it's neat when you see that stuff.
Absolutely. And they have quite a collection there, that's for sure.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. But we just have different stories of how people celebrated Halloween. I thought this would be kind of a fun one to share. And that's a lot of times people had parties in their homes. They would have Halloween parties that they would just host to try to keep kids out of trouble from after it gets dark, going out and wreaking havoc in the community. But this one is from October 31st, 1946. Tonight is the date for ghosts and parties. Are you prepared for the witches and goblins tonight? This is the date for the annual appearance of make-believe ghosts and spooks, which were originated to add more merriment to the celebration of Halloween. Manhattan children have been attending Halloween parties for the past week, and tonight a large number of the city youngsters will be ringing doorbells, playing trick-or-treat games. Mother sheets will be slipped from their linen closets to be used as ghost costumes, and parents may discover they are minus some of their shoes. The annual midnight shows will be held at the Wareham and Sosna theaters, with favors to be given to moviegoers. The box offices open at 11 p.m., and it goes on to mention at the Wareham, the show will be Valley of the Zombies, and at the Sosna, Seven Doors to Death. So even then, I think that was something I remember in high school. Was it the Rocky Horror Picture Show? Mm-hmm. They always showed that. In school, they had a night for the older juniors and seniors to get together to watch that on Halloween night, just to try to prevent some of them from getting into trouble. And it does say in the paper, a large number of private parties have been planned tonight, among which is the Elks Club Halloween Dance. According to reports, the majority of the celebrations are planned for youngsters of the city. So again, having a lot of these private parties in homes. This is 1946. Even when you look at the 1880s, the paper is just riddled with how many private parties. And of course, nothing is kept secret in the papers in the 1880s. So it talks about what exactly they did, bobbing for apples. That was another common tradition that young people would do during these celebrations. But it's just a lot of fun to look back in time and see how people celebrated then compared to what we do today.
You know, I don't think I've ever bobbed for apples, and I don't understand the excitement of that whole thing, but that's one tradition that's just kind of escaped me over the years.
Yes, I don't think I've ever done that either. But bobbing for apples, it's been an autumn tradition for hundreds of years. So its origins are more rooted in love and romance than it is Halloween tricks or treats. It began as a British courting ritual popular among young ladies and their potential beaus. There were several variations of the game. In one set of rules, each was assigned to a potential mate. The bobber would then attempt to bite into the apple, named for the young man that she desired. If it only took her one try, they were destined for romance and to be married and live happily ever after. If she succeeded with her second attempt, he would court her, but their love would fade. If it took three tries, their relationship was doomed, never to happen. So another approach to the game was a race to see who could be the first to bite an apple. The first to emerge successful would be the first to marry. So a related superstition suggested that if a girl put the apple she had bitten underneath her pillow, she would see her future soulmate in her dreams that night. So that became, even though rooted in love and romance, it sounds more like a Valentine's Day. It does have its roots to relating to Halloween, and that was a common theme, a game that young boys and girls would play here in Manhattan in these home parties, was bobbing for apples.
Hmm. Well, that's been something that's kind of been a tradition for a long time. I don't know how much of a tradition it is these days, but I know it still happens. So.
Yes. Well, that's what it seems, you know, we were talking about how traditions kind of shift and how things are a little different today. And it's nice in certain neighborhoods you have, they set out a time for trick-or-treating, obviously when it's still light outside. I remember when it was, we would go trick-or-treating in the dark and you bring your flashlight.
Yep.
But also when they do different events like the trunk or treats, or whether it's at Sunset Zoo, I know they do special events for kids to go around and do Halloween activities and events. So it's nice to have that, but it has been interesting to look at how things have changed over time. And thankfully the pranks seem to have died down a little bit since the 1880s.
Yeah, it's more about candy these days. That's basically what it is.
Absolutely. And that is one of the perks of being a parent, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. my favorite thing this time of year is to watch Jimmy Kimmel I don't know if you've ever seen it, but they prank their kids saying that they ate all the candy overnight.
Yes.
After Halloween. That is fun to get the reactions of their kids. And they just like, they're floored. Like, what are you talking about? My candy's gone.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, I'll have to write that one down. Take notes.
Yeah, that's a fun little, just you can go down the rabbit hole on YouTube and just watch a whole bunch of those. So.
Yes. Gosh, that's funny. But yes, it's always, you know, today it's about the candy and going around doing that, as long as it can be done safely. Of course, you know, last year with the pandemic kind of changed things a little bit and how kids went trick-or-treating. But it seems like it can be done in a safe manner and just a lot of fun. That's, you know, one of those memories that sticks with you growing up is going with friends or your siblings and going around in your neighborhood and going trick-or-treating.
Of course, one trick that I've always noticed, kind of, this would be a little inconvenient, is if you get teepeed, your house gets teepeed. I've seen that happen to a few houses, but knock on wood, it hasn't happened to me yet. So
you better be careful now. Yes, that can be a mess. I know growing up at our high school, there was always a group that would teepee the high school and the trees out there, and it was a mess, especially if it rained. And so that's one of those pranks, but it actually makes a lot of work for somebody else. So I did have one more here, if you don't mind if I share.
Yeah.
In the local newspapers here, it says, "Here's to Halloween. Holy Eve, All Saints Day might be, but we know it better as Halloween. Halloween, you all know what that is. It's the night the deacon finds the outhouse on his front yard. It's the night the suppressed desires of millions of people become reality. The little goblins go out trick-or-treating, and the witches and ghosts go out tricking, and the old bats just go out treating. Cars mysteriously appear on rooftops," which I'm curious to see how that happened. "Hubcaps disappear, and soap runs rampant." That's another thing I know sometimes people do, putting soap in the fountains, which causes a big mess. "Cows find their way into public buildings. Garbage cans propel themselves up and down alleys, and the police force goes quietly mad. Here's hoping all you goblins, ghosts, and assorted demons have a lovely diabolical evening. Just a word of warning, though, the line between pranks in prison is awfully easy to step over." So there are some historic pearls of wisdom as you are approaching Halloween and how you plan to celebrate this year.
All right, very cool. Remind people how to get in touch at the Riley County Historical Museum if they want to set up one of those cemetery tours.
You can give us a call at the museum. The number is 785-565-6490. Give us a call. You can also stop by. The museum is open Tuesday through Friday from 8:30 to 5, Saturday and Sunday from 2 to 5. We do have other historical sites that you can visit. Of course, the Wolf House Museum. They're on Fremont and Juliet. All is free admission. So, I hear a werewolf.
Well, that's not the Wolf House, is it?
Oh, we do have kids ask. That's why it's named, because there are wolves in there. And I hate to disappoint them that that's not why. So lots of fun things to see. Please come by and visit us. And we're always interested in considering donations and love stories. Please drop by your stories as well.
All right. Thanks, Alana.